Okay.
Hello, everybody, and that's a nice way to start the show.
Sorry.
I can't believe it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the rescreening.com podcast. I'm your host, rescreening.com's own Mark Eastman, and with me, as always, is co-host extraordinaire and huge Eddie Murphy fan,
yeah.
Shane Leonard.
Hello.
This week...
You dropped that on me, like, right before we went live. You're like, I hate Eddie Murphy. And I'm, like, trying to reconcile this and deal with it while the music's playing. I'm like, I can't believe this.
No, I'm over Eddie Murphy.
I get it.
He's done enough stuff that I don't want to see him in other stuff.
This will all come full circle in a few minutes, but anyway.
Exactly. This week is War Dogs, which is, you know, the trailer kind of puts this movie one way. We talk about the trailers and whether or not you get that movie. And in this movie, I think it's pretty fair to say that when you start watching the trailer and you see Jonah Hill and Miles Teller, and you see the clips that they show you in the trailer of stuff that happens, and the trailer puts a big directed by Todd Phillips on it, who, as you know, is, you know, The Hangover and all those sorts of movies, right?
Right.
And I think overall in his career, pretty solidly, you know, in that realm, like he you know, it's not like he directed the remake of Terms of Endearment in between the Hangover movies or whatever.
Right.
He's like kind of right there. So, knowing who he is and knowing his movies, you watch that trailer, see those people and all that, and you think you're getting one movie that I have to say is very different from the movie that you get.
Uh-huh.
This movie did not play out at all in a way that I feel, I mean, whether I liked it or not, right? Whether
it has nothing to do with
whether
it.
I thought the movie ultimately was good or bad.
Right.
It was not what I thought I was going to be watching.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, there's nothing to relate this to The Hangover, really. Apart from the fact that Bradley Cooper is in it, this has no connection to anything else Todd Phillips has ever done.
Right.
It's really different. It's really, you know, the trailer seems not all the way to The Hangover, maybe. But
it certainly
seems, it seems like it's going to be like, you know, it's quick.
Yeah,
it's trying to get lots of laughs all over the place. The trailer shows you, I think, every attempt at humor Jonah Hill makes in the whole movie. So it's, you know, it seems like it's coming at you fast.
Yeah,
and it's going to be kind of goofy and funny
and loose. And certainly, like if it's got a compass, it's pointing towards that.
Yeah,
because he, you know, you start thinking about the things that he's done, not just like directed, but even like contributed to the story or written. And if I say Road Trip, Old School, Starsky and Hutch,
Borat,
you know, The Hangover, The Hangover 2, The Hangover 3, like if I start saying that, you genuinely see a common theme there. It's, you know, it's guys making bad decisions, really bad decisions, because they're children
they
live with the chaos.
They're all very goofy kinds of films.
So I thought War Dogs was going to be that.
Right.
You know, legitimately, but it's not really that.
And no, it's not that.
It's not exactly that.
Whatever it is, it's you may be a little surprised going in. And I wonder if that's not going to have some serious negative effects in like the, you know, like user ratings on IMDb or something. Because, you know, for your average moviegoer, you see Todd Phillips and you see these people and you watch that trailer and you go to this movie, you know, you're disappointed.
You're expecting something, right?
Because you're not going to get goofy comedy.
Right.
And, you know, anyway. So, we're doing War Dogs this week. And it is so depressing at theaters right now that actually what I was going to do was give people a rundown of what's coming up.
Sure.
And, you know, we do that every once in a while. Let you know what you should see.
What we're probably going to see
in the weeks ahead,
yeah.
what we think's good and all that. So the weird thing about that was I started looking through, you know, it all kind of blends together for me, right? Everything that comes out in the next 2 months for me might as well come out next week or could come out next week because, you know, I don't even know. I'm just, I hear about all the movies all the time. And so when something's coming out, you know, it all blends together. So I look at IMDb and the upcoming movies, and for the next 2 weeks, the third week will be the 16th.
Right.
Then it kind of feels more like a real week or something. But for the next 2 weeks, it's really hard to pick the theatrical releases from the like straight to video or, you know, releasing on iTunes or super limited release things that you might know is coming out, but you can't get to that theater anyway because it's not coming close to you, whatever it is. All of the lesser indie or like kind of art housey or whatever they might be movies that may not get the widest distribution.
Yeah.
It's really hard to look at the list of movies and think what's the thing.
What's our thing that week. Right. Right.
What comes up, what even comes out, what will show up, who knows what it is. So like, next week, the only movie that even has had, I think a fair amount of attention paid to it, like that has a marketing budget at all, I don't know, it's The Ninth Life of Louis Drax.
Right.
Because I've at least, you at least hear about that, you've seen some TV spots, you'd see the trailer of that. It actually looks like kind of a good movie. I don't know that I'm, you know, real anxious for it or anything, but it looks kind of good, but it's obviously a really kind of slow, methodical kind of movie. But it, you know, it looks fun. If you if you see the trailer for that and you think it's going to be good, I think you're going to find you're right.
You're going
to like it.
Yeah.
And coming out next week, other than that, there's Skip Trace, which is Jackie Chan and Johnny Knoxville, right? Which back in the day, this would have been the movie where it was like Jackie Chan now goes straight to video.
Right.
It's like this is, you know, like Jean-Claude Van Damme's like seventh movie or something.
Yeah.
Where he just started coming out with stuff that was, you know, whatever, like way back in the day when he, when he was popular. It's like, you know, Kickboxer 7 or, you know, whatever.
Right.
It looks so bizarre.
It does.
That you can't even believe people are in it. And just having Jackie Chan and Johnny Knoxville together in a movie seems like some weird skit. Jackie Chan is on SNL, and they go, "Yeah, let's do this movie and throw, you know."
It just, it sounds like so many of his films, like whether it's, you know, whether he's with Chris Tucker or whether it's Owen Wilson. The blurb is: a detective from Hong Kong teams up with an American gambler to battle against a notorious Chinese criminal.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's Mad Libs.
Right.
Jackie Chan is a detective from Hong Kong, and he teams up with a American blank to battle against a blank from place.
Right.
Like that's it. And I'll be damned if I still am going to see this.
It's funny. Like, it's funny too, because that this is all that comes out because, I mean, you know, even Rush Hour was just a TV show for a while.
Right.
And actually they're still airing the rest of the season even after they've said they've canceled it.
Well, they got it if they've done it.
Yeah. It's funny because they canceled that show.
Yeah.
And then like 3 weeks later, I noticed it coming on and I'm like, wait, what?
Right.
And then they have like four more episodes. So they just throw them out. And man, it was the worst show ever.
Yeah.
And not even just, you know, the first couple episodes of it weren't horrible.
Yeah.
But then after that, it just kind of became like Scooby-Doo.
Right.
I mean, it was like you were watching live action Scooby-Doo, the stuff people would do and, you know, whatever. Anyway. So that's coming out.
So we're looking forward to seeing that.
And then there's The Light Between Oceans, which actually looks like a great movie.
Yeah.
But you didn't know it was coming out next week.
No
one heard of it.
No.
No one's trying to even get you to watch the trailer of it.
Yeah.
It's a bizarrely tiny movie.
Right.
And it's Michael Fassbender, it's Alicia Vikander, and Rachel Weisz. So, I mean, it's all people who, you know, last year were nominated for things.
Right.
Or, you know, people that you know, people who are big time. But there's no marketing budget. It's like they paid these people and they went, that's it.
Yeah, there you go.
That's all we can do with that. and I have no idea what kind of release this has for next week anyway. It might,
yeah, I don't know.
You know, it might
limited,
it might broaden some, I suppose. If everyone shows up the first week, then maybe
right.
more places will get it. But this is one that they kind of put it out. You know, I have no idea. Maybe it'll show up everywhere. I don't know. But it's certainly not anything that anyone's trying to get me to watch.
Right.
So who knows what's going on with that. And then Morgan, which is a horror movie. It's basically, it's like that same movie. God, what was it called? Ex Machina.
Yeah.
It's like if that movie went really wrong way earlier, it's like this is the movie of after that goes wrong, except that she's still trapped in the thing. I mean, they still have her contained.
Yeah.
But it's all gone wrong. And then some woman has to go to, you know, I don't know the exact, I don't know the exact official plot synopsis, but it's about some AI that goes wrong and a woman who goes like to investigate what happened. I don't know if we're pretending that nothing went wrong and she goes to investigate like rumors that something went wrong, whatever it is, but it's a horror and it's all about this.
It really is Ex Machina, a corporate.
Yeah, no, it is.
A corporate risk management consultant must decide whether or not to terminate an artificially created humanoid being. And I'm like, I saw that 2 years ago. It was really good.
Right. Yeah. So that's what it is. So somebody saw that movie and said, that's a good idea.
Let's do it dark, right?
I could make horror out of that. I don't know. Anyway,
that's a good sign though, because now it signals, now that September is here, we're going to start seeing horror movie every week.
Yeah.
Like we won't see them.
Right.
I probably will,
but they will.
Now it's time. Now for the next six or eight weeks, they're coming.
Yeah. And you get a super double bonus. On the 16th, because you'd see the Blair Witch.
Right. And I hate the Blair Witch.
Which is everything
I hate it so much.
You love about the world.
Yeah.
All right. So then the next week after that, you do actually get Sully at least. So
you curious about that?
I'm kind of curious about it. But to me, my reaction to seeing the trailer for Sully is almost like your reaction to the Jackie Chan movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is just some plane crashes Mad Libs. Like, let's take some other case where, like, I've seen this movie, only it was Denzel Washington. And, you know, he was the one who was getting hounded about every second, what he did for every second of a plane crash. And now it's just Tom Hanks' turn to do that.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel like I'm back in the mid-90s when Denzel Washington and Tom Hanks just kept trading roles at each other, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was I'm kind of interested, but for me, this is so far – what I know about the movie, this is like a movie that if somebody would edit it down to like 15 minutes and I could fast forward through it,
you'd get it.
Then I'd go, that was all right. I'm okay with watching that. Just seems like a really long drawn out drama for no particular reason that I can see.
I want to see if Clint Eastwood can do a big film like that again.
Yeah.
Cause he seems hit, miss. I don't know.
Then also this is the week of the 9th. Also that week we've got Other People is a fairly big thing coming out. It's it's one of the things there's about 8 movies listed as coming out that week. Most of them, like I said, you tell me which ones actually go to theaters.
Right.
Who knows? Other People seems like it's going to get a fairly decent release. It's got a lot of people in it that everyone knows, right? Like Bradley Whitford's in it, Molly Shannon, Zach Woods from The Office, Maude Apatow, because like she asked her dad to make a movie,
right?
So she could be an actress or whatever.
Yeah.
And Jesse Plemons is kind of the star, and he's a stand-up comic who, you know, goes back home to see his dying mother or something, and hilarity ensues.
Yeah,
I don't know, whatever. And the other movie is Brother Nature, which has it's a Lorne Michaels produced movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's Jillian Jacobs from Community and Taron Killen, And it's this whole, he has this idea to propose at his girlfriend's parents' lake house or whatever, and then everything goes wrong,
right.
And then hilarity ensues.
Right.
And it's, you know, wonderful.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other movies that aren't even, like, as interesting as those. So,
right.
So it's time to stay home and watch
catch
new
up.
Fall TV.
Yeah.
That doesn't actually quite come out
yet. Start
yet
either. Right.
But that's all the trailers we're going to show you.
Right.
Is,
man, that's
all,
a rough couple of weeks for us.
Yeah, it's really weird. And then after that, we remember that we're supposed to put out movies.
Right.
And
things pick up a bit.
And then you've got the whole Blair Witch, like remake, sequel, to whatever it is.
Yeah.
Who knows? I predict, as much as you hate Blair Witch,
yeah,
I predict that either either that is going to be like, you know, figuratively the next
right.
Blair Witch, because everyone's going to go to it and love it.
Right.
And it's going to like turn into this big thing where everyone,
thing.
Or
yeah.
everyone is going to come together to like universally hate the fact that that was made
right.
and be really pissed. And it's, you know, gonna get slaughtered.
It's got one thing going for it.
It's one of those.
Yeah.
There's no in between.
Well, it's
released.
Got, it's got two things. It's got the name, but it's real short. You know,
oh,
at 90
right.
minutes long with probably 7 minutes, 6 or 7 minutes of credits, you're looking
right.
at an 85 minute movie, and maybe that's good. Not because if it's bad, you can get out of it quick, but like if it's real crisp and fast moving, maybe that's actually good for it. So
yeah. Who knows?
And hopefully
then,
I won't know.
And then Bridget Jones's Baby, Snowden, Mr. Church, all
yeah.
that comes out on the 16th.
Right.
All of it, I guess people are interested
what
in
a weird, what a weird couple weeks.
It's still, it's still actually a weird week.
The weird two punch there for me is the week before with Sully, because I love and then don't love Clint Eastwood's work. And then the same, I don't know if I would say love, don't love, geez, I'm blanking on it. That's so stupid. Oliver Stone.
Right.
And I'm curious about Snowden almost more, not for the story. I know the story. Like, this is one of these films that we see each year and you're like,
yeah, I'm none interested.
I know
in
this
story.
Like, you're not going to surprise me with any
right.
data. And I guess if your performance is great, then you just whatever. But, you know, I already know this back and forth because it's a very
yeah.
small story. But if Oliver Stone does a great film, I really love them. I have a lot of fun with his films when he's on point. Sometimes because he's Oliver Stone, he just goes wherever he wants and then the film loses itself. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'm curious.
But see, I'm actually kind of in the same place with both him and Eastwood.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you say they're like hit or miss.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I feel that way about them. They're almost in like an Eddie Murphy camp for me, right?
See, here
they're,
we go. Eddie Murphy again.
What they are really is like hit. Miss.
Right.
And now I'm just like, you know, for the last 10 years, I've hated everything you've done. So now does the fact that you made another movie, is that supposed to be interesting
you've,
to me?
Right.
Because
we can, sorry.
No, that's,
we
no,
can tie
just,
this up then.
Both of them.
Right. I get it.
Do the same thing. And, Mr. Eddie Murphy is in the
Mr. Church
movie.
Yeah.
That's how that comes
right
back around.
Right.
Just for those who may not know what Mr. Church is.
Right. There you go.
It's actually an Eddie Murphy movie. It's a movie that looks pretty good. And
yeah.
Eddie Murphy
yeah.
could theoretically, actually do really well
yeah.
in a role like this.
Right.
But anyway,
so, you know, it comes full circle to that. And I said to you right before we started that you've got a different perspective of Eddie Murphy that I don't necessarily have to have because you have more children than I do. And you've had to endure various nutty professors, various haunted things, various talking aliens. Like, you've had to really lose your Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy
tolerance.
And the fat suit.
Right, yeah,
thing.
Everything. All the Norbit,
oh,
all
yeah.
the things, you know, all the whatever. And I still can remember Eddie Murphy as being deliriously Rob Beverly Hills 48 Hours Cop. Like,
well,
I know that's like 30 years ago.
So
and I know
I.
that's not
I
it.
I remember him.
But I don't have to endure all the stuff you did. So
I remember that too.
Yeah.
But, you know, at some point you just keep making
right
garbage.
Sure.
And
sure.
I get to.
You have to see it.
I get to go, wow, you used to be
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
I don't
right,
like you anymore.
Right. Okay.
You know,
so,
but
anyway. Anyway, but that's funny.
For me, it's the same with Eastwood and Oliver Stone. Now, Eastwood, though, I have never – I don't know that I've had any movie I can think of his that I've really actively disliked.
That J. Edgar film that he did, I did.
He's had movies that I went, eh, whatever. That I was like,
yeah,
2.5, 3, right, something right. like that. He's had movies that really disappointed me. But I don't know he's had any movies that I said, okay, zero.
Right. No, that's a good point.
You suck.
That's a good
right?
point. I don't think I have either.
And Oliver Stone has. And
yeah, that's true.
He has had movies
and not that far
hated,
away.
Right?
right. Not that long ago.
So anyway, I don't
that's
know.
A good point.
I'm not Snowden has a lot of stuff going against it for me.
When he's good,
I'm not interested in the story anyway.
Right.
I don't know that just because a thing happened all means right. there's a story.
This
right?
stinks. You got me looking back, and you're right. Probably 2008 is the last time I liked anything Oliver Stone did. I mean, we ripped apart Savages. I like to forget that never happened. But.
Yeah. No, that one.
All right. Well, then he's due.
Anyway, well,
he's due.
That's what
so
it
let's,
is.
Let's
right.
get this back on track. He's due. That sucks.
So anyway, Snowden, you know, I'm getting a little tired of this, you know, as long as something's in the headlines.
Right. It's a movie.
It's a movie. Yeah. Like the fact that something happened means there's a whole story behind it. And we need to know everything about this person's life or whatever.
Right.
Like, you know, that's some hour long TV special, maybe.
Right.
Where it's like the life of Snowden.
Yeah.
Or the
right.
backstory.
And they've done that.
Whatever.
You know, yeah.
You know, fine, but we need a movie about it. Is there really a story there that is interesting insofar as like making a movie out?
Isn't this
it, right?
the two people? Like Clint Eastwood, I feel like, is taking, you know, Sully landing the plane.
Exactly.
And he's like, I can do 2 hours of that,
right.
maybe three. And then Oliver Stone is like, okay, now what's the new conspiracy? Because
right.
I'll make a movie out of that.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway,
I got odds on if I had to pick between the two, really, I would pick between Sully being the better movie, but Snowden being engaging or maybe more interesting.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't
it's
know.
Coming right
I'll tell you.
A couple weeks away.
Also, as much as I like Joseph Gordon-Levitt,
right.
he can when he's good, he's really good, I think.
Yeah.
And even when he's good in things that I've seen that are kind of smaller and almost like on the art house side of things and
right.
have a story that I'm not interested in, he can make it fun to watch and be interesting. But he can also really bizarrely suck the life out of things when he mm-hmm. is not in a place that he actually works.
Right.
But he's in that movie, like, you know, the
Walk.
Yeah. The Walk.
Hated that.
I hated that. And I hated him in
right.
it.
He was clearly trying to act.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't, I mean, he's talented. He doesn't
bizarre.
Have to, but
no,
I could see him
he's
acting
really good. But when he
yeah.
was in that,
it was
Zemeckis
almost and everything.
Like, yeah, it looked like you were watching someone who'd never done it before. And
right.
said, what, who's this person? And it was like
yeah.
5 minutes before the cameras rolled. They told him who the guy was at all. They were like,
right.
okay, here's the bullet list of who
right,
this guy
yeah,
is now.
Right.
Act like that.
And do that. Was, yeah.
I don't know. It was weird.
That was an awkward one.
So anyway, that's what's in your future.
Yeah.
In theaters. As far as news, we like to cover news, but there's no news.
There's
the Olympics
no news.
Are over. That's the news.
Right. We could talk about Ryan Lochte all we want, but why?
Yeah. What's funny is it seems like every Olympics –
yeah.
He and Michael Phelps have been in the Olympics like forever. This is
right.
like their fourth.
Yeah.
Right? They've been together
yeah.
like the whole time. And you know, what's really weird, and I'm old, so I can remember things like four Olympics ago really well.
Right.
Not
right.
Like,
really well.
Not
like I was alive, but
right,
I saw
exactly.
it. Yeah.
It seems like every summer Olympics at some point I'm going, ah, fuck. That's like the new catchphrase of the
that's
Summer
it.
Olympics.
Yeah,
like,
I love it.
It happens every year.
Right.
The last two Olympics, he at least didn't do anything.
This.
He didn't do anything horrible.
Right.
But he was just like in the
he
news for being an obnoxious,
right.
Goofball. In
yeah.
general, there were stories of his remarks on things and
yeah.
who he was doing. And in the first one, it was all him like kind of mouthing off to Phelps.
I remember that.
At first, you know, now you've had like three Olympics of them being teammates.
Right.
Buddies. But in like the first one, it was all about him, you know, more or less bashing Phelps all the time.
Yeah.
And Phelps was wee.
Right.
So it wasn't nice. Right. Anyway. yeah, that was a weird thing. But there was a lot of actually awesome stuff that happened in the Olympics.
Yeah.
It was weird to see all the stuff. And it had something for everyone.
Right.
Because you know, when you watch the really long races,
yeah,
which only exist like bike races.
Right.
You know, which only exist for people who like NASCAR.
Yeah.
There were crashes.
Right.
They crashed bad.
That one that flipped over and hit their head on the curb, and the curb was like 15
and
inches
then,
tall.
And, then just
and I'm
didn't
like,
move.
Right. And I'm like, who needs curbs that high?
And then,
you know?
And then you watch her.
That was,
and
I still cringe when I watch that. That's
and,
such a bad.
And
flip.
She like did not move.
Right. She didn't like struggle to move. She was just not moving.
She was just like, if she had,
we talked about this. I remember
if she had died instantly.
Yeah.
That's what it would look like.
Right.
Like she just,
Mark, I thought she
like
did.
A rag doll.
I really did. I'm like, man, please twitch, do something, because that's awful.
It was horrible, and it was, you
that
know, what's kind of funny, even
God,
though
that was
funny,
bad.
But what's kind of funny about it is there were several times when people went down.
Right.
There were a couple in soccer matches I watched.
Yep.
There were a couple here and there. There's the psychotic guy who broke his leg.
Yeah,
this is a different
vault
story, because
he didn't
have any problems with moving, right? But
it's
another thing that happened. But when that happened, when they make the movie of that guy,
yeah,
they're going to have to actually make his broken leg look more realistic than it really was when you saw it real, because it was like it was fake looking.
It looked CGI,
it
like
looked
rubber
like,
leg.
It looked like he was holding up a fake rubber leg
it,
or something.
It looked like
it
when Harry
so
Potter
weird.
Broke his wrist
exactly.
in the film. It was so
it
rubbery, and I was like,
it was goofy. But anyway, there were so many times that people went down where it reminded you that everyone everywhere in like sports and everything, the coaches should say, you know, you go down, just move a little.
Give me a sign of
whatever,
life. Proof of life. Yeah.
However hurt you are, just move a little. Because that happened several times. People just went down and you were like, they're dead.
I think I just watched something really bad.
Yeah, it was weird. And then it's the live Olympics coverage. So that's awesome. But
I watched much more Olympics than I thought I was going to.
I
really didn't think I was going to. And then I admit the swimming stuff pulled me in. And then the volleyball stuff pulled me in.
And
then I started
watching.
And then it was just like, you know, let's have it on in the background, because I like hearing us win medals.
Right.
And then I would come in
and
be like, wow, badminton is on. These guys are nuts. You know?
Yeah.
But I watched far more than I thought I would.
I did too. And, you know, people tune in for nothing but us babbling about what we watch. But I did too. And before the Olympics started, I was complaining that the coverage has not been that good the last couple of Olympics that I've watched. And the coverage was pretty good.
Yeah.
But it was also a little weird, because there were things that happened that got almost no coverage.
Right.
There were several track and field things. There was like some of the like hammer throw stuff, some of the discus, especially when you get to like the women's.
Right.
You know, some of the events, you know, all you would see is, well, here's the winning throw.
Right.
And
that's it.
And they would show it and go, this happened. But Olympic walking or like dressage, where the horse is just walking around in a box.
Yeah.
Every second of
that's covered
was from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And there are some sports that have to go. I mean, there just are.
Yeah. We'll give them a list
next week. There needs to be room for new things to show up. And some of that stuff.
What do you want to see? What's the new thing?
You
don't even have to get rid of anything, because I know there's a long list. But like, what do you...
I don't even really care so much about a new thing, but there are
some things
that are, they're not new, but they're not in the Olympics. Like, you know, lacrosse is, starting to get pretty serious, and, you know, college teams and people
right,
everywhere, play it. You know, there's certain, whatever the conditions you have to meet, there have to be enough people in the world who
can access,
do a thing, or whatever. Yeah. And it has to be X amount of popular,
right,
whatever. And who knows what all these goofy rules are.
Yeah.
But, lacrosse is still not in. Lacrosse was ancient, jillion years ago, was in a couple of Olympics or whatever. Hasn't been, and it's getting really popular again.
Yeah.
It's starting to get to the point where college teams are like serious, right? And you know, I don't know, some of the things are, I don't, nobody does them except that they're in the Olympics.
Right.
Like, that should be the rule. If it was, if it was me, that should be the rule, right? If nobody does this anywhere on earth except because it's an Olympic event,
yeah,
and they want to do it in the Olympics,
it's gone,
then that should be out.
That's all,
that's
done.
That's not a thing.
Yeah. Right.
That's,
right.
Anyway,
you're training for an event, not
right,
like a thing.
All right. Anyway, so War Dogs, which as everyone can tell, we really want to talk about.
Yeah.
Longtime
listeners know what's up.
Right. So Jonah, Jonah Hill and Miles Teller, which already that starts off at a slight negative to me, because both of them are massively hit or miss,
yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
When I like Miles Teller, I like him pretty well.
Yeah.
But when I don't like him, I really don't like him. When
right,
he, when he's in a movie, when he's in a movie that you expect from Todd Phillips.
Right.
Not that it's
and
been a,
right,
not that it's been a Todd Phillips movie, but
yeah,
some, you know, goofy whatever, I really can't stand him. I feel like he acts in a way in those movies almost like he doesn't like doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like he's going, well, fine, I'll make this movie and they'll give me a bunch of
I
money.
Think that's his face. Like, you know, there's the famous, there's
be,
the famous bitchy resting face thing.
Right.
I think he just has like that, like slight nose turned up.
He just,
like, not aesthetic, but he just acts like he's put upon when he's supposed to do,
yeah,
things.
And he just, and when he's in the wrong scene or the wrong,
yeah,
situation, he just looks like a jerk. Even when, like,
yeah,
the scene is like, be really nice.
And, right.
But you set up the scene in the wrong way, so he just looks like a jerk. Or
yeah.
And Jonah Hill's the same way. I like him pretty well in a few things.
Right.
But most things I'm just like, eh, whatever.
Right.
You know, he doesn't, he doesn't really like jump off the screen to me. I feel like really, as much as I guess somehow you're not supposed to say this, I feel like he's really a lot better when he's just supporting, you know,
right,
whatever. I mean,
supporting,
I guess
not
that,
carrying.
That, that's
yeah,
not nice. He's just not the guy to carry the whole film for me.
Right.
I think he's good when he can try to, you know, inject something into something that's already there.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway,
yeah,
sometimes he's good, but anyway, so the movie is, based on a true story.
Yeah.
Based on a book written by Miles Teller's character.
Yeah.
And it's a true story about how, especially when the Iraq War was really, moving.
Yeah. Right.
And up to the point, it starts a little bit before that, but up to the point when the U.S. military really got into this kind of arming the Iraq police thing, that's when you really, you heard about this stuff,
right?
Right? None of the other stuff was
right,
news exactly. No one cared until there was the big
right,
screw up at the end. But the government was kind of forced to open up bidding on where they get their arms from.
Yeah.
Largely thanks to Dick Cheney.
Right.
Because all of the government contracts were going to the same people.
Yeah.
And it did not look kosher, right? So the solution was, what we'll do is we'll let anyone bid.
Open
so
it up.
See how
yeah,
fair that is?
Right.
Because we'll let anyone bid.
Right.
And Jonah Hill's character jumps on that,
right,
and says, I could do that. I could be an arms dealer. And really, as Miles Teller's character says at one point, you know, we never leave the office. We're not smuggling guns anywhere. We don't have a bunch of guns somewhere that we do something with, right? The government has a contract.
Right.
We call people who have guns, have them ship guns to somewhere else.
Right.
That's not really like the government's place.
Right.
It's wherever the army is or whatever, wherever they need the weapons. And we just sit here on the phone and never leave the office. So ultimately, as you see in the trailers, they do leave the office, mostly because neither one of them has any idea what they're doing, really.
Right.
So they're not some big company that does this, or a company that actually buys the weapons and then has the weapons.
Right.
So that they don't have to worry about certain things. And, you know, they have a huge staff who know all kinds of things, like what country's pissed at what other country right now. So there's an embargo on this or that, or who will let you, you know, move through their country, whatever. So they have to go fix some problem suddenly. And so they actually do start leaving the office for things.
Right.
And then as they get to a certain point where they bid on the biggest government contract of this kind, you know, to ever come along, and somehow actually win it, as you see in the trailer, mostly because they underbid it by like $50 million.
Right.
So and all that you get in the trailer, you see that one spot where he's kicking the wall and
screaming,
they tell him that he underbid it and everything. And the other like kind of side plot going on in the movie is Miles Teller basically trying to keep it from his wife.
Right.
That this is what he does. Then after he can no longer keep it from her, you know, then trying to keep everything he does from her and trying to still, you know, it would have been interesting actually if they would have played that a little more and a little better. The fact that they didn't play it very much gave it no chance to really be good.
Right.
But it would have been interesting to kind of explore more of the constant trying to hide what you're doing,
right,
even though, you know, on the one hand you're like, it's fine that I'm doing this, I'm not doing anything wrong.
Right.
But also I'm going to totally hide it from, from everyone that I'm doing it or whatever.
Yeah.
And Jonah Hill's character is basically a sociopath in the movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I hate starting off like every week saying I'm torn on the movie or something.
Yeah.
But there's something about this movie that made me not want to not like it. It didn't make me want to like it.
Yeah, right.
It didn't exactly make me want to like it, but there's something about it. And especially I think Miles Teller and his character, but also I really liked him in this, and I don't really like him in general.
Often.
And I liked him in this, and somehow it made me, you know, not want to be harsh. You know, it's almost like the movie itself was kind of like having a sixth grader ask you how good their drawing is or something. It's like,
it felt like it was
awful, but I don't want to say that.
Right. Because you feel like they tried.
Right.
You feel like this is maybe not as good, but they did try. They were earnest about it.
It really seemed like a serious effort.
Yep. I agree.
I think kind of in contrast to most of the stuff that I've seen Todd Phillips do, especially recently, it didn't think that I only showed up because I'm pretty stupid.
Right.
There was nothing about it where it was going, you're dumb, so you'll think this is funny.
Right.
It's not ridiculous humor. It's not even that funny. It doesn't even make much effort to be funny, except, you know, in a couple of spots where what's funny is just how like clueless and in over their heads they are that they don't even realize anything that's going on.
Right.
But it's that kind of humor. It's not like
it's not Hangover humor. It's
slips
not,
and falls.
It's not slapstick.
Whatever. Anyway, but you know, on the other side of that, it also was really bad. So I have to.
You got to account for that.
I have to account for that. So
I got a number for
explaining
you.
Explaining that, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of talking for a low number.
Explaining that, I think, you know, in my mind, makes the rating really solid, right? That's the exact that's the exact explanation of three.
Oh, I'm a half point off. I had you at 3.5. I'm getting really good at nailing down your numbers.
Because it's doing a lot of things that make me want to say, that's a 5.
Right.
But then it also does a lot of things that make me, you know, I wouldn't say zero. I wouldn't say it really goes way
go to
zero.
To that
but it's also like 1 or whatever. It's like when the sixth grader leaves.
Right.
And then you take it into work where you're an art professor or an art historian or something, and all your colleagues, and you go, it's really, really good, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, you can't actually do
that.
You go, no, it's like a 1, right? It's awful.
Yeah.
And it was just so slow and boring and predictable. There was so much of this movie that I was just bored.
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to, like, check my phone.
Yeah,
it's just going,
and it's long.
Something happened.
It's just under 2 hours.
It's way longer.
I don't know that I disagree much with any of that. I was at times bored, and I was at times the best moment that the film has, which it kind of ruins through the trailers, for me anyway. Where maybe not the best moment of the film, but the part of the film where I feel like it's really working is when they're gun running, when they're driving across.
Yeah.
The triangle of death, which gets ruined in the trailer anyway. And that's got,
it does. And you know, like 5 to 10 minutes, like either side of that whole area,
that chunk is fine. You know, that's when it seems to be working good on character, story, narrative, action, like comedy. You know, there's a fair amount of stuff that's really happening there. But the rest of the film seems really uneven. It works best for me when Jonah and Miles are in the scenes together. I didn't mind Miles Teller with his wife or with, you know, other people when he's doing his possibly, you know, questionable massage techniques. You know, that stuff's cute and funny, but it doesn't seem to go as far as it should for an R-rated film being directed by Todd Phillips. Like, I thought that when that scene was happening, I'm like, here comes the hangover part of the film. This is going to get really raunchy. And it doesn't. It almost reminds itself that it's only PG-13. And then it moves on. I hated the pacing of it, but the story is so fragmented and it takes so much time that he chose to tell it like this. Like someone else who does films like this, like a Martin Scorsese, who I think he looks up to a fair amount here. This isn't like The Wolf of Wall Street, even though it wants to be. This is more like The Wolf of the Gun Range. You know, it's just so fragmented, and I hated the intertitles. Every single time there was a chapter and there was a quote that somebody had to say, I felt like it broke the narrative and it broke the pacing, and it didn't just slow it down. It reset it.
Well, and you know, the thing with that is it's an odd part of the film.
Yeah.
It's not in one place. It's in like several places. And you know, it's not like it's the first movie to ever do that.
Right.
Or
of course
do
not.
Anything very close to it.
Yeah.
But this movie actually does it like for no reason.
Right. It just wants to be cute.
It does it like because that's the title of the chapters in the book or something.
The article,
I don't know if it is.
No, the article, you're right.
You know, something like
the
that.
Article you would have read about these guys really doing this years ago in Rolling Stone would have had those asterisks in the chat and it would have broken it. And this would have been the quote you would have seen on the side of the page.
It would have been the part in the middle of the article where it's bold and slightly bigger.
And you read that and you're like, that's really interesting. I got to read the rest
of
this.
And then
you
go down
quote.
And read it again because it shows up.
I think there's 5, maybe 6 of those. And I found 6 or 7 of them to be completely annoying. Like I didn't like it when it first started. And I thought maybe that's only the mechanism to keep it going, but it better not keep doing it. And then it kept doing it. And I found,
and then by the time it does it, like the last time and the second to last time, it's just annoying. The thing pops up and you go, oh, God, now I have to wait for someone to say that.
Right. Which one is it going to be? Miles? Oh, no, that's going to be Jonah Hill.
Right.
The biggest thing that I noticed, you know, aside from all of these things, was that it felt like it was, I will agree, because I thought you said it, you know, I'll say it a little differently, but I agree with you. It tried. It was earnest. I felt like it really did want to tell a great version of this story because it was interesting to Todd Phillips and the characters, but it always felt like it was in the wrong gear. And I never felt like it was ever in overdrive, except for that maybe, you know, like you said, 20-minute scene where it really seemed to hit everything right, and then it was running. But everything else, when it should have been in fourth gear, I felt like it was in second.
Yeah.
When it should have been in fifth gear, I felt like it was in first. Like the pacing of what had to happen
actually
was really
interesting
off.
Is that you don't know this story, right?
Right.
It is. It's the same thing like we were talking about before with Snowden, where. You know, it's just something was in the headlines and now we have to make a movie of it, but you don't know this story, right? But what's weird about the pacing too, like you said, there's that one part where it seems like it's, you know, working, but the movie after that is not the movie that you think is coming.
Right.
Having watched like that 20, 25 minutes.
Right.
It kind of goes weird. There are a lot of parts in this movie. And, you know, I guess people will be of two camps on agreeing with my statement that I, you know, say this all the time. But there are things in this movie, and especially stands out for me is the stupid contract that they make. And he, like, ridiculously out of nowhere makes it.
Right.
Only there's no reason for him to make it movie-wise.
Right.
Right. Not reality.
It probably really happened.
There's no
like that,
there's no reason for it to exist in the movie except for Jonah Hill to be able to take it. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing for me that really stands out. Right. Like if that's what really happened, lie.
Right. Fix it a bit.
Right.
Like
that needs to not be there because you don't ever need that contract to actually exist to get the exact same thing.
Right.
You could just have you know, falling out and Jonah Hill said, we don't have a contract.
Right.
You got nothing.
Right.
You know, because it's the same effect.
Yeah.
Right. And we don't have to have that stupid part of the movie that's stuck in. Like if this were a made up movie, you know, and you were watching it, you'd go, what the hell is that part?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
Not only is it there so something can happen later, but it almost looks like you made the whole movie and forgot to do it.
Yeah.
And then went, oh shit.
Right.
He didn't have a contract to steal.
Yeah.
Quick film minute and a half of
him
taking a contract.
Right.
It's terrible. Right. And there's lots of stuff in the movie that's like that.
Yeah.
That is, you know, thrown out. Like, I mean, it's almost like Todd Phillips is making the movie going, I don't want to do this part, but
it's in the script.
It's what really happened,
right,
or
right.
You know, whatever. So I'm stuck with it.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't do that sort of stuff, right? There's several parts where all we're doing, all the like say 5-minute scene about or something, all we're trying to do is have we need more of Jonah Hill looking a little crazy or being really mean to people or, you know, whatever, and we're not, that's not really helping us make his character.
Right.
Right. Because stuff that happened that worked, that was pretty good. There were lots of things that happened that gave us his character. Fine. We had him pretty much good enough without throwing in just these little things like where, you know, like a dog walks by just so he can kick it. Right.
Right?
I mean, there's a bunch of that in the movie where, you know, that thing is probably in the book because he really did do that.
Right.
He really is that much of a jerk. And here are all the things that he did.
Yeah.
So maybe he really did it, but you know, you don't have to tell us everything he did.
Right. It's strange because there are times when, you know, when I see Miles Teller in Whiplash, I'm like, man, this is who you got to be from now on. You got to be this actor. And it's not just because they're big tentpole studio films. But then when he's in the Allegiant films, it looks like he just got cast because he's got a pissy face. You know, you got to be this bad guy. You got to be the guy that turns on people because you look like you would.
Right. And because the marketing team have a score for him of, you know, he's like a 16. And all of our stars put together have to add up to 110 whatever.
We need to play the numbers.
In order to make this much money back or something.
I don't hold him accountable for Fantastic Four in the way, you know, that was a mess of films. But then he does something like this, where, again, those other films, I don't think he's terribly engaging in the Allegiant films or the Insurgent films. I can't remember what the overarching name of them are. But those films... in these big tentpole films where he seems like he's like the next Shia LaBeouf, who's supposed to be a big star by now. We just need a big summer film to get him into it.
Right.
Like it almost
so
feels
let's
like
keep
he's
throwing him into
right. So let's keep throwing
films,
him into
right.
stuff. And he just, it's not that he's bad in them. It's that they're bad because they're trying to call you stupid and just make money off you.
Right.
In this, though, I didn't like everything he was supposed to do. And like you just pointed out, there are scenes like that contract thing, which I understand, you know, they need these things to pretend to happen or they did happen and we got to make it all like the real story, but it just, it didn't work for him there when so much of the other stuff that he's doing, he's personable, he's likable when he's with his wife, her friends, or Jonah Hill. He's still that same guy. He's still the constant guy, whether he's in Albania or he's in Miami. I mean, he's that character. He's not changing to be
right.
somebody else. And then when he finally has enough and he and Jonah Hill are butting heads, like, I really like that guy. Those scenes for
right.
me work really well. But it just, the rest of the stuff around them as a set piece, it just felt like this real, I mean, Todd Phillips, I like Todd Phillips films, not wild about the Hangover stuff because
right.
it's just on and on, but I kind of like watching them for the fun of it. I just wish this had been either more fun or less fun, like one or the other. Cause when he was trying to straddle that line,
right.
it didn't work.
It either has to be a really serious film.
Yeah.
And
no jokes, like real scary.
But you kind of can't because.
Right.
There is
the
apparently
success.
This like goofy stuff that happened.
Right.
And according to the book, I guess I'm told
you say so,
you know,
yeah.
that there really was this whole, like they just were lost.
Yeah.
And so, you
right.
know, like when things were working out or whatever, and they were
yeah.
just, I guess kind of out of their minds, loose on all this money they were getting.
Yeah.
And it was almost silly.
Right.
And it really, you know, you can only be so serious with characters who are based on real people who weren't serious.
Right.
And the
right.
whole thing is
absolutely.
Like a big goof.
Yeah.
But yeah, or it has to be more funny or it has to be way shorter.
Yeah.
But there was so much time in this movie that
yeah.
I was just sitting there going, how am I bored?
Right.
How can it be
right.
that this movie,
be. Right.
even, you know, even if I'm watching The Hangover 2 and I don't like it.
Right.
And it's, you know, really just stupid humor and being goofy at me. But I'm not bored.
Right.
I'm sitting
That's
there going, I hate this.
Right. Because we've had films where we do that. We're like, I'm not engaged with this at all, but I'm not bored. I'm just like, this
right.
is dumb.
Right.
But other times you're like, I'm not bored. Like, yeah.
There was
a total different feeling there.
There were a lot of scenes in this movie, and this is actually something that I think is becoming more and more common in films, where you have stuff that you want to be serious, and you take a scene,
yeah.
and it's like, just make that scene longer.
Right.
And then now you're serious.
Right.
And
right.
And now it's something interesting is happening
yeah.
because look how much attention I'm paying to it.
Yeah,
and it's really weird. And in this movie, it really kind of stands out. There's something about how much this has to try to be funny that makes all these scenes that are so slow. There's
yeah.
The scene with, even though I kind of like the part with Miles Teller and his wife.
Yeah.
The part where she finally like leaves, that scene is like forever.
Yeah.
And the scene starts, you know, I mean, if you've ever seen a movie, the scene
right.
starts and he comes home and walks in the door and he's like, hello, and puts his bag down. I'm done with that scene. I know everything that's going to happen in that scene.
Right.
Now I have to watch it for like 6 or 7 more minutes.
Yeah.
Like it just goes
right.
on forever. And
yeah.
then we have to have like, you know, his wife has the faints within faints because she knows he's lying about something even more and
right.
you know, whatever. And then we have to ha ha ha.
Right. Yeah.
You
well,
know?
I found this.
And
yeah.
it's like, oh, come on. Even if you're going to
yeah.
do that, do it faster. But
right.
it's just like that whole scene
yeah.
is really like, it's like they shot it once. And then, you know, Todd Phillips said, okay, like do it again, but for twice as long.
Right. right.
Like it's,
yeah.
it's just, and there's a lot of the stuff and it's doubly weird, especially when you're sitting through a movie, to have that part where they're in the truck, they get to the army guy. The army guy's
right.
like, oh, hey, you're awesome. And, you know, whatever. And all of that even though there was like slowness to some of it, like they're driving, it's right. late, it's, you know, that's kind of slow because right. we watch them drive for a while
and we got to make it long
because we're trying to show that it's really far, you know, right. whatever. They go to they wake up in the
right
in the thing and they just are there for a while. Yeah. We don't know where their driver went.
Yeah.
We, you know, find a dead body, we call the wife. It's like slow. We're right. just sitting there at the thing, but it's not the same kind of slow. It's right. like, it's that part's actually interesting and works. Right. And you know, it's slow for a reason,
right.
you know, you, whatever the other yeah. things are like just slow because I don't know, make it slow.
Right.
And so then you know, you watch that part and then you have to get to the other mess that happens after it.
Right.
And then you're like, what?
Why right. I just, the performances are solid, but the movie's uneven. And for me, that's kind of where I was like, I felt like you too. I'm like, this isn't getting any higher than a 5 for its faults, but am I going to go lower than a 5 for its faults? You know? And I thought about 4, but I was like, it just feels average. Like when it was really good, which was rare for the film, it was fine. But most of the time, just the unevenness bored me.
Right.
But I still think it's almost kind of average as a movie. I don't think that it's going to light the box office on fire, but it's times, if I had to watch this on, you know, at home, I would skip through a bunch of stuff.
Right.
You know, I would just go right through it, but
you have to watch it on fast forward. Speaking of lighting up the box yeah. office, that's some news,
yeah.
I guess, that's actually happened is, Ben-Hur
right.
is, trying its damnedest to like jump onto the biggest loss
ever
movie,
right?
Ever.
The Ishtar train,
which, yeah. Yeah.
Heaven, or, the Heaven Can Wait bus.
Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, that'd be an interesting, list to look at again, actually, because for a while there, especially, you know, as you try to, I guess, factor inflation into it, you know, they have,
yeah.
they have lists that are just straight the dollars.
Right.
And then the list on, you know, inflation worked into it dollars. For a long time, like even very recently, Cutthroat Island was on top of that
yeah.
list for man, for so long.
Yeah.
And you know, the weird thing about that one is
love it.
Not that it lost so much money. Actually, I don't love it.
It's not the bad film people say it was.
It's not that horrible.
I know.
I mean,
it was a punching bag. That's all it was.
Yeah,
for the time, someone decided this is what we're going to beat up on. So let's do it.
Right. And somehow convinced yeah. no one to ever go to it. Now, that,
right.
the weird thing about that one is the amount of money that it made was bad,
right?
But didn't really seem that bad,
right?
It, what was weird was how the hell did they spend that much money on it?
On
I mean,
it.
Did they build an island?
They built an ocean,
you know?
Yeah, they had to make water. Yeah, that was crazy.
The weird thing about that one was how much money they spent. Where did that money go?
Somebody made a lot of money.
Somebody, yeah. Somebody, you know, was like Jonah Hill going, the money's made between
right,
the lines.
Right,
because
they're like, we can get this water here, but it's going to be 200 grand for every, you know, and you're like, what? Okay.
Right, it was, you want to film on this island,
yeah.
and then all, you know, craft services was half the budget of
yeah.
the film or something.
Right.
It was, that was a weird one.
Yeah, that's a strange one.
Anyway, we're running out of time, and we should let you
go.
We've already told you
everything you need,
everything that's coming up. I imagine next week will probably be the Ninth Life of Blue
yeah,
Drax, just
probably.
Because it's the
if it opens,
it's the thing that's most likely to show up near you.
If not, you got Morgan.
So yeah, Morgan, I'm all set for that.
Right.
Yeah. So the thing about War Dogs 2, just as a parting thought, is even though we didn't love it, I don't know that there aren't a lot of people I would say go see it. Like,
yeah,
it as an okay thing. Don't expect a ton out of
right.
it. Don't think that it's going to blow you away or anything.
Yeah.
But it is a kind of an interesting story, and there's, you know, it's not horrible. It's not. There was never a time
yeah.
that I was hating it really
right.
actively. It's not that it did a bunch of stuff wrong. It just didn't do anything right.
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of bad, but
I wouldn't say it's a theater seat.
There
it's
are no
cheap seats or Netflix kind of thing.
It, but,
I would wait,
but see it when it comes out on Netflix.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're running out of time. We better, I guess, get out of here.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for tuning in, and please share, rate us on iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes, and otherwise trick your friends into listening to us. Thanks.
Bye.